Tony Ortega is the former editor-in-chief of The Village Voice. He recently left the paper to write a book about Scientology. During his time at The Voice, Ortega wrote hundreds of blog posts about Scientology, so he seemed like the perfect choice to talk about the new film, The Master, and whether or not it's a movie about Scientology.
It portrays a mid-century man who is leading sort of a spiritual movement, and he brings on a troubled veteran, World War II veteran, who is a drunk running from his past, and the master, the man leading the movement, played by Philip Seymour Hoffman, does his best to try to reform this troubled man, played by Joaquin Phoenix. So it's really a character study of these two men as their relationship develops. It's really fascinating.
It takes place, what, in the 50s, early 60s?
They repeatedly say 1950, so I think it's supposed to take place over several months in the year 1950.
Now, you have been following Scientology for a number of years, writing about it for The Village Voice. How much do you think that the writer and the director of The Master, Paul Thomas Anderson, was influenced by Scientology, by L. Ron Hubbard?
Well, there's just no question that he researched Scientology to an incredible degree and then sat down and wrote a script which is just thoroughly infused with Scientology. We interviewed him a few weeks ago. It was obvious from the script how much he had done research, but then to our interviewer, he talked about how he had gotten down to 1950s newsletters put out by Scientologists. The research he did was so painstaking. I was really surprised, but if you read the script, you can see it in there. There's so much in there that's about Scientology, but also specific Scientology history. Now, not everything in that script made it into the movie on the screen, but there's still Scientology nearly from beginning to end in this film.
So give me an example. Are there noted parallels between the two?
Well, there's parallels on several different levels. On the one level, it's kind of a biographical movie about L. Ron Hubbard. And the analog of him in the movie is a man named Lancaster Dodd, who's played by Philip Seymour Hoffman. Hubbard was married. His third wife was named Mary Sue, and she was a very steely companion who helped him run the organization. That's exactly the way Amy Adams plays Peggy Dodd in the film. Hubbard's oldest son, L. Ron Hubbard Jr., was in the movement, then he was out of the movement. He kind of betrayed his dad at times. That's exactly how Dodd's oldest son, Val, is played by Jesse Plemons. So there's that parallel on one level where it's just sort of a biographical sketch. But then the activities in the film, the way that Dodd's movement called The Cause is actually expressed, is very similar to the way Scientology works, the way that you're supposed to go back into your past lives even, to find traumatic incidents and then handle those memories so that your life today can be better. It's just uncanny the way these processes are reflected on the screen.
I still find it difficult to see the proof with regards to past lives that your movement claims.
Would you care to submit yourself to processing? Look through the telescope, as my friend said.
Well, perhaps another time. You've also said that these methods, cause methods, can cure leukemia, according to your book. And
some forms of leukemia. In being able to access past lives, we are able to treat illnesses that may have started back thousands, even trillions of years.
Trillions?
With a T, sir.
The Earth is not understood to be more than a few billion years old.
Well, even the smartest of our current scientists can be fooled. Yes.
You can understand skepticism.
Yes.
Can you not?
Yes, yes. For without it, we'd be positives and no negatives. Therefore, zero charge. We must have it.
Good science, by definition, allows for more than one opinion, doesn't
it? Which is why our gathering of data is so far reaching.
Otherwise, you merely have the will of one man, which is the basis of cult. Is it not?
Tis. And thankfully, we are, all of us, working at breakneck speeds and in unison towards capturing the mind's fatal flaws and correcting it back to its inherent state of perfect. Whilst righting civilization and eliminating war and poverty, and therefore the atomic threat.
Now, again, you've studied Scientology. You know quite a lot about it. You've written a lot about it. Are there ways that the Master is different from Scientology?
It's different for the most part in really cosmetic ways. Anderson has just taken the names and changed them. He's changed the dates. He's telescoped events. He's created composite characters. But the correlations are just so similar. So while you're going through auditing in Scientology, you're going through processing in The Cause. While you're asked to not blink during auditing, and if you do, they yell flunk. In the film, if you blink during processing, they yell infringement. I mean, it's that one-to-one. It's really remarkable. So I know that there was some noise made by some of the filmmakers that, oh, this could be about any New Age movement of the mid-century. But I got to tell you, those of us who really know Scientology don't buy that for a minute. Anderson very consciously set out to write a film about Hubbard and the early movement.
He has said that it's about Scientology.
Absolutely. Yeah, he told our interviewer that. He told a panel that in Venice. He has been more open about that. The actors are still saying it's not about Scientology. And I think that they're doing that merely because they don't want to get the kind of harassment that was experienced by, say, Matt Stone and Trey Parker of South Park because of what they ran into 6 or 7 years ago.
Scientology does have a history of coming after people who they think abuse their rights.
Yeah. In 2005, Parker and Stone created a really amazing episode of South Park. The first half of that episode is very loosely playing around with Scientology, but then it gets serious and it really does show the most secret upper-level teachings of Scientology that they try to keep under wraps about these space aliens coming to Earth 75 million years ago.
Back then, there was a galactic federation of planets which was ruled over by the evil Lord Xenu. Xenu thought his galaxy was overpopulated, and so he rounded up countless aliens from all different planets and then had those aliens frozen.
And there didn't seem to be much of a result of that. But then just last year, some documents surfaced showing that Scientology did at least plan a concerted effort to investigate Parker and Stone, investigate their friends, go through their trash, try to get a mole into their office. These were documents that were leaked by high-level Scientology officials who had left at that point. So I think, you know, when you see Philip Seymour Hoffman and Amy Adams going around saying this isn't about Scientology, I think they just don't want to incur the wrath of an organization with such a reputation for retaliation.
Of course, the film is getting a lot of great reviews. It's being taken very seriously. And Philip Seymour Hoffman and Amy Adams and Joaquin Phoenix, for that matter, are all being touted as examples of the great skill that our current acting community doesn't always show. What do you think of the film itself? Is it a good film? Is it a great film?
The critics love it. It was a little bit hard for me to evaluate as simply as a movie-going experience because I was so madly taking notes in the dark about all the Scientology in the film. You know, I'm a big fan of Stanley Kubrick, and the Kubrickian moments in this film really hit me over the head. I thought they were great. I'm hearing other people saying that it's an arty film, it's too slow and too long, and Joaquin Phoenix is a little over the top. I think it's going to be one of those great movies where people have a lot of different opinions about it, and a lot of people are going to go see it, and it's going to have a big influence, like Anderson's other films. If you're a fan of Anderson, you will recognize a lot of the same tropes in this film as you've seen in There Will Be Blood and Magnolia, that kind of thing.
Well, I guess that answers my next question in a way, but I'll ask it anyway. Why does it matter if the Master is or isn't based on Scientology?
I think purely from a filmmaking point of view, it doesn't really matter. You know, Paul Thomas Anderson has created another movie that will be talked about, and he just happened to choose Scientology as its background. But I think in other ways it is very important because Hollywood has had an interesting relationship with Scientology for many years. And while we're familiar with a lot of their celebrities, there are other people that are not happy with Scientology's presence in Hollywood. And there have been attempts before this to portray Scientology in film and television, and producers have had a very hard time getting that done. So I think this film is significant because it really is marking a shift in Hollywood where it is becoming increasingly more common for Scientology to be the subject of art and criticism.
And this is where we are at. At the lowest level. To have to explain ourselves. For what? For what we do, we have to grovel. The only way to defend ourselves is to attack. If we don't do that, we will lose every battle that we are engaged in. We will never dominate our environment the way we should unless we attack.
Tony Ortega is the former editor-in-chief of The Village Voice.